Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's go to the guests. I got to give him a nice sound intro. Number one, he represented South Florida, 954. Some people may have 786, but let's keep it real. We know it as a 954. Rookie on the Denver Broncos, one of the best rookies in the National Football League, recently named AFC Defensive Player of the Week in Week 12. First round selection in the 2021 draft out of the University of Alabama. He won a national championship in 2020, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, unanimous All-American. You can find him on Twitter, at Pat Surtain II on Twitter. One of the best up-and-coming corners in the National Football League. And like I said, starting for the Denver Broncos, Pat Surtain Jr., how you doing?
What's going on, man? Appreciate you for having me on the show, man.
Man, It's always an honor anytime we get a chance to get some South Florida blood on the show, man. We got to. And Pat P's not on the show, but I don't know if you saw the rankings from 247 that came out some months ago. They ranked the best corners ever.
Yeah.
Right.
I seen that list. Yeah. Uh-huh.
You saw the list?
Yeah, I seen it.
Now, me personally, I feel some type of way because I told Pat P this when we saw the list we talked about on that show. I'm like, okay, man, Surtain been a dog. I remember him coming out of American Heritage. Pat, I knew you was a dog. You know, I watched your high school career. But why they got me? I was what, ninth? So they had you eighth. They had Pat P sixth. Number one, that shows you what type of talent we got in Broward County. Think about that. We got three corners all from Broward. So they tell you what type of talent we have in Broward. But I just felt some type where they had me, you know, I mean, definitely you prolific, Pat P prolific, but dang, they had me all the way at nine. I felt some type of way, but it was an honor being able to see your name on there and Pat P as well. And I'm like, man, I know your father, been knowing your father for a long, long time. I'm like, man, we got to get Junior on the show. We finally got you on the show. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, man. I've been watching y'all shows every now and then. I'll be peeping into it. Y'all got a great thing going on. So, you know, I'm glad to be a part of it right now.
Appreciate it. Let's start to the beginning. Of course, you know, if you've been living under a rock, Pat Surtain, he's a junior and senior, played in the league as well, had an outstanding career for the Chiefs, for the Miami Dolphins, along with Sam Madison. These guys used to have handcuffs on wide receivers back in their day. But he retired when you were eight. Do you have any memories of your father playing in the National Football League?
Yeah, I think the earliest of memories was, of course, him playing for the Dolphins, but I was a little bit younger. When he played for the Chiefs, that's when I was like 6, 7, 8 years old. So
yeah,
those are some of my fondest memories. I remember one game, I actually went on the field for the coin toss.
That was
a pretty dope experience. Yeah, it was against the Saints. You know, mm-hmm. I met some of the players, interacted with some of them. I was like, because I looked at them, of course, like when you're that small, you look at them as giants. So I was a little shy, a little soft-spoken towards them. But, man, it was an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, and right now your father's doing a tremendous job with the youth down in South Florida. He's the head coach for American Heritage High School, one of the best high schools, not just in South Florida, but in the state, also in the nation. And you played for your father. So what was the best and worst part about playing for your dad at American Heritage?
The best part is, just going out down the field with him, knowing that he's going to coach you to the fullest. You know, he's going to get the best out of his players. So it was great for him being my coach. You know, I just learned a lot of things from him, you know, on the field, you know, from him passing down some of his knowledge towards us, some of my teammates towards the game. You know, those is probably like one of my best memories I can remember. So, you know, those are great experiences with him. The worst thing is, you know, he used to get on me now. It wasn't no it wasn't no sweet love just because he's my dad. You know, it was all tough love. But, you know, he always wanted to see the best of me. see me strive to be better, strive to be a perfectionist in my craft whatsoever. So, you know, it was a blessing in disguise at the same time.
Yeah, and you guys had a lot of success down there during your high school tenure. For individuals that are listening to us and watching us on YouTube, talk about the talent that you were surrounded by at American Heritage. Your high school, I felt like your senior year, your secondary might have been one of the best secondaries I've ever seen assembled on a high school field at the same time. Can you list the guys that went D1, right? Your senior year, and the guys that went D1, what school they went to, and also the guys that got drafted in this previous NFL draft for our listeners and our viewers that might not know.
Yeah, so senior year, shoot, we had about at least 10 plus D1. Yeah, D1 kids. So it was like, it was me, Tyson Campbell.
Went to Georgia. The other corner. Yeah.
Other corner.
Yep.
We had Nesta Severa, defensive tackle, went to Miami. Drew Chatfield, defensive end, went to Florida. Kelvin Hart, linebacker. Miles Jones, he went to Nebraska. Dylan Lester, UCF. Anthony Schwartz, speedster, Auburn.
Auburn, yeah.
Let me see who else.
You had another DB right?
Yeah, Dylan Lester.
Yeah, okay, that's the DB. Yeah.
UCF. Yeah, man, it was just a crazy year. Kevin Hart, NC State.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just
that's just your senior crazy year. Right?
Senior year.
So how many from that senior class just got drafted?
Two. Me and me, Tyson, and Anthony.
And you're forgetting one. Shorts, right? He just got drafted to the Browns, right?
Yeah, me, Tyson, Anthony, Shorts.
Okay, okay, so it's three. Yeah. Wow. So
and including my junior year with Marco.
Marco Wilson?
Yeah, Marco Wilson.
So all y'all was in the secondary together your junior year?
Yeah.
That's unfair. Wait a minute. So your junior year, what was your secondary your junior year?
So it was me, Marco as the corners. Then we had Will Allen, Will Allen's son, in the nickel.
Okay.
Then we had Michael Hicks at safety. And who else we had? I forgot who was the other safety. Am I tripping?
Man, yes. I think you're forgetting another name, too.
I'm forgetting. I'm missing somebody.
Yeah, I think you're missing somebody. Because that two-year run –
Yeah.
Man, y'all had so many kids, man, that went on to play big-time college football. And, of course, you got quite a few guys that's in the NFL. American Heritage right now, how many guys you got have in the NFL, including yourself?
Shoot. From the draft class alone, we had like seven dudes get drafted. So, including Sony, Isaiah, Brian Burns. Yeah. So, probably like 10.
Wow.
10, 9.
And that's in a matter of the last three drafts. That's the thing. Man. Hey, man. And Pop's got it rolling down there, don't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's still building. We're going to have a couple dudes come out in this year draft class.
Yeah.
Probably
y'all
so.
Y'all got some receivers down there. Ennis, you know what I mean? He just decommitted from Oklahoma. Santana, he played at my park.
Yeah, Santana.
Washington Park. Yeah. Got a running back that can go. What's the running back name down there? The running back that played this year.
Mark Fletcher.
Yeah, he can go.
Yeah.
And you got big Marvin time. Jones Jr.
Yeah, and then you got Earl Little
Jr.
Yeah.
You got to get them boys to Florida State, man. Stop playing. Marvin Jones Jr. Definitely got to come to Florida State.
He got ties. So, you know, that's
– Yeah.
You know, I'll let him slide with that, but – You know.
Yeah, man. Listen, man, I like filling our listeners and our viewers in about what's going on in South Florida, man. Some of the best football, high school football you'll see. And that's why you see so many South Florida natives playing on Sundays and of course Saturdays, because that's what we do down there in the 954. Talking about college and signing day, I mean, many people thought you were definitely tied to LSU. Your father has Louisiana ties. What convinced you to attend Alabama?
You know, I just felt like it was right. You know, when I went to Alabama, of course, I had official visits, a couple of visits, but, you know, what's built inside that program is something special. Of course, I had LSU in my radar as well, too. It was really them two going into my last decision. Yeah. But, you know, just Alabama standing out just by the resources they have, the program, you know, all that's within it. And, you know, you just ain't going to get another experience like that going and competing with top level guys, five-star guys, of course, with the GOAT, Nick Saban. So, you know, day in and day out, you know, you're just going to look to get better and be the best version of yourself.
Yeah. And last year, me and Pat P had Nick Saban on the show, right?
Yeah.
We had Nick Saban on the show. He kind of let his guard down a little bit. He was rocking with us a little bit. But you were there with Nick Saban for 3 years, you know, his pride in joining the secondary. Do you have any funny stories with Nick Saban involved?
Yeah, man. You know, Saban, he'll get on you now. So I could remember, I think my freshman, sophomore year, fall camp. You know, fall camp, it'd be hot. Grueling out there, you know, you competing against the offense good on good, you tired, dead tired. And sometimes when you tired, sometimes your mental be a little off because you're thinking about, man, how I'm gonna get through this practice, how I'm gonna get through this. And sometimes, and we had an install like every day. So I was in a nickel and you know, I was supposed to have flat responsibility.
Yeah.
But the thing was, like, I ain't here to play. So I'm thinking, like, because majority of the time in our defense, everything ends up in man. So, you know, I was going through the field, going through the motions. And next thing you know, my dude, who I was covering, I was in the slot. He went up the field. I carried him up the field vertically. But yeah, I thinking it was man.
Yeah.
And I did that. Next thing you know, I evaded my error. Quarterback threw it to the flat.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I was like, because I already knew I messed up. Because obviously, like, I seen the corner up. I knew somebody was supposed to be there. So obviously, you know, I think it was me.
Yeah.
So next thing you know, I see him throw his big straw hat on the ground. he came walking with a fast pace towards me, started yelling at me, getting on me. Man, I was like, man, listen here. I ain't gonna lie, coach. It's hot out here now.
No question.
sometimes I'll be forgetting.
Yeah, yeah. Was that your freshman year?
I think it was sophomore year.
That's sophomore. Oh, so you was already made man then. You was already established.
Because freshman year, you know, I was just playing corner. You know, corner, adapting to the cornerback position sometimes easier than other positions. Because
you just got wide.
Yeah. So sophomore year, they moved me around a little bit.
Yeah.
Had me learning different and new positions in the nickel. So I was kind of new to it. But yeah, man, that was one of the memories I'll never forget.
Yeah, no doubt. And Saban, of course, you know, he has special ties to secondary guys. That's like his bread right there, you know, being in the secondary. So I'm pretty sure he used to monitor you guys a lot more than some of the other defenders on the defense. And during your time there at Alabama, I mean, when you look at the wide receivers, man, you had a chance of going against Devontae Smith, Daly, Jalen Waddle, Ruggs. Who was the most difficult to cover?
Man, I ain't gonna lie. I get this question as all the time, but it's like, because when you look at them, they so dynamic, but they all got their unique traits. Like Smitty, he's smooth route runner, great at the catch point.
Yeah,
you know, he's fast as well too. That's what people don't know. He's fast, and he's an all-around great receiver. Then you got Ruggs, speedster, deep threat, great hands. You know, with a ball in his hands, he could take it to the house at any time.
Yeah.
But then you got Waddle, quick, elusive, all that, shifty, ball in his hands, taking it to the crib, deep threat, all that, Judy, route runner, sharp, quick, all that. So when I look at it the most, it's like all of them got their unique traits. So it's like pick your poison because you got to figure out, like, okay, I'm going against this dude. You got to figure out a weakness, like, what makes him get in his head a little bit. But, you know, those dudes, man, they was very special. And I can tell you this, you know, going into practice, I'm like, man, I got to get better today.
Yeah.
You know, when I go against them, because in the game, you ain't gonna see nothing like that in a game. So, you know, going against those guys, it's just helping me as a player.
Yeah, I can imagine them one-on-one drills, man, one-on-one opportunities. Boy, it used to be full-fledged. Not to mention, you got a chance to – you were there when Judy was there as well.
Yeah, all four of them.
Yeah, it wasn't no easy out. One-on-ones, boy, you got to make sure you got your cleats taped tight, stringed up the right way, boy, because you jump out there not ready. You know, Saban would jump out your back.
Then it was me, Trayvon Diggs, mm-hmm. Xavier McKinney, Jared Maiden, Shaheem Carter, all in that secondary. So it was like going out there competing with those dudes. It was like, man. It was like a game-like situation, you feel me? So it was dope.
And we had Xavier on this show too some months ago, and he's been balling. He had like 5 interceptions right now. So, man, listen, I can tell you this much right now, just throwing this out here, Pat. All the current guys that we've had on the show, they've been balling, especially guys in the secondary. We had Derwin James on. I mean, all the guys we've had on the show been doing numbers. Darius Slay, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Darius Slay is a big-time fan of your press technique. We had him on the show last week, and he just mentioned you. No, I think he put it on social media also. Talked about how
I seen it.
Yeah, he loves your game, bro. He loves your game. And I think that's a big time. But seeing it from a guy like Slay talking about a young guy like yourself, how does that make you feel when you see other guys that play the same position that you play that are older and definitely successful, noticing some of the things you've been doing?
Yeah, that's pretty dope to see, you know, seeing those veteran guys look at you, look how you play, and, you know, just – you know, admire you or just tell you're doing good things. You know, that's just like a experience for me. That just boosts your confidence. Cause when they seeing you out there doing big things, making plays, you know, you getting respect from the veteran guys that you've seen on in the NFL daily making plays since you was younger. So, you know, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And talked about, you mentioned your former teammate at Alabama, now current Cowboys corner, Trayvon Diggs. I mean, he's leading the NFL with 9 interceptions this season. How many do you think he'll finish with?
Shoot, no telling. I think he could finish. If teams gonna keep on throwing at him, he could finish with at least 14, 13.
Yo, I mean, 14 is the record.
He'll play.
14, Dick Knight Train Lane, Hall of Famer for the Detroit Lions, the only corner to ever wear number 81 in the NFL. He holds the record for 14 in 1952. But get this, that season he only played 12 games. So he has the record. But if Trayvon can get 14, They gotta back up the bank truck right now.
We got 5 games left, and including the playoffs. So it's like Well, I don't think playoffs don't count though, right?
No. They don't count. Yeah, regular season. But he definitely, like you said, they keep throwing at his way. And I felt like when he came out for the draft, when I watched all the corners, I felt like his ball skills were so elite. Of course, he can play wide receiver, but you know how it is playing the cornerback sometimes. Sometimes you let a few books go. You know what I mean? Trayvon is not letting no pick go. He's going to come down with everything that touches his hand. And because of that, he currently has 9 interceptions.
Man. Yeah, he's just he should be around the ball every play. And he is not only like he's just making plays on ball. It's like he's reading. He's like jumping routes, you know, disguising well, you know, just making big time plays for their team. So,
yeah. And when you look at your current secondary, a guy who I love as a player, and I think he kind of gets overlooked sometimes, is Justin Simmons. I think he's one of the more underrated defensive players in the league right now. But why people consistently sleep on him, you think?
I don't know, man. I think he's a top safety in this league for sure. I mean, day in and day out, he's consistent. He flies around, make plays, a leader back there. I just know I got like a trust back there with him. Cause you know, if I'm out of position or something, or like, I feel like I know he's going to be there to save the day or something. Like he just filled the field with it. Smart, consistent. I don't know why, but I think, I know he was the highest paid safety at one point. Mm-hmm. So, I just think he deserves all that. Just seeing him in practice day in and day out. I just think consistently, I think he's a top safety in this league.
Yeah. I mean, you got 2 great safeties, Justin and Kareem, another Alabama alum. You know what I mean? So y'all secondary nice, boy. Y'all got Kyle Fuller, Ronald Darby. Man, y'all got some guys in that secondary, and you guys been balling as well. So hats off to what you guys have been doing in the secondary, man. Not need to create a new no-fly zone. Remember they had that back when Aqib Talib was there, Chris Harris in the gang. So you got to come up with a nickname for the guys.
Yeah, we've been talking about it. They said we ain't gonna steal their motto, steal their swag. So you know, we just gotta come up with a new one. We ain't come up with one yet, so probably soon we will.
Okay, okay. Let's get a little technical. I love being able to inform and educate our listeners and viewers on certain things that defenders do. Tell us about your first interception. And that happened on, what, Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
Your first interception, which was Trevor Lawrence. Take us through that play. What was the coverage? What was the route? How were you able to get in front of it to come down with your first career interception?
Yeah, so basically we was in cover nine.
What's your cover nine?
It's like a three deep zone, cover okay. three match.
Gotcha.
So, we was in cover nine. So we was up by decent margin. So I knew, they had to get to the end zone. So, I was playing from like 10 yards off, whatever. Receiver, he just ran a straight go route. Yeah. Reading to him, I knew it was going to be a go route. But I ain't man turn. A zone turn.
Zone turn. Yep.
Reading the quarterback.
You only had one threat to your side, or you had two?
I believe it was one. He was okay. out wide.
Yeah.
Wide split on the numbers or outside the numbers whatsoever. But he was, yeah, he just ran straight go. He sailed inside a little bit and stunned back out. Mm-hmm. So I zone turned it, read the quarterback's eyes. Then, once the ball in the air, we need the 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
And I just made a play on the ball.
And see, that's the thing about zone turning. When you zone turning, you instantly find the ball easier than man turning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's much easier because when you man turn, I feel like even though you're in good position mm-hmm. and the ball's in the air, sometimes it'd be hard to like turn back and look for the ball because receiver could get a step on you.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you zone turn, you look at the ball, you could track it better.
Yeah, you can track it better. And you have your peripherals allowing you to see where the wide receiver is as well. So that's good sound technical knowledge right there coming from Pat Surtain Jr. But what about your first pick six on Justin Herbert?
Yeah, man. It just happened to be those days. Got a pick in the end zone, then the drive after that. We was in quarters to my side.
Cover four.
Running back, cover four, yeah.
Yep.
Running back was at one. He sort of went under, so I made the under call.
Yeah.
But the nickel ain't see it. So he was carrying his man through with number – he was carrying number two through because I'll cover four different. My responsibility is to take one, but if you go under, I can make an under call whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I made an under call.
We used to call it China. That's be like a China for us.
China, yeah.
Yep.
We called it China. So I made a China call. And luckily, he dropped it. So, them tips and overthrows, we need those.
Oh, them the best ones, right?
Yeah. The easy ones, them gifts.
Yeah.
So, I drove on it, made a play on the ball. Then they said, I took it to the crib.
No question. Did you? So all the interceptions you've received so far this year, you've earned. You've kept all the footballs?
Oh, yeah, I kept them.
Yeah. Okay. Make sure you keep all of them. Get them painted, too, with the game. And I don't know if you – I know in Pittsburgh, we had a guy who used to paint our footballs for us. Whatever happened in that play, if it was a sack, forced fumble, they painted nice for you. So make sure you – because I know you're probably going to get another – in your career, you probably get another 40 or 50 of them. So you're gonna need a lot of room for all the footballs you're gonna come in with.
I might need a whole case.
No doubt. And speaking of interceptions, I was watching the game last night in the studio, and I said, this could be a nice game right here. Get a chance to see young fella go against some guys out there, right?
Yeah.
And lo and behold, the football always tend to find the guy who he's supposed to find. The football finds the person it's supposed to find. You came down with a big-time interception last night. And get this, before the game, man, Pat Mahomes, one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. I don't know if you heard what he said about you. You heard what he said about you?
I heard some of it.
Yeah, he was very, very complimentary of your work so far this season. He said, this was of you last week. What was it like to pick him off on Sunday Night Football? Of course, we're going to get to that. But Mahomes' quote on Surtain the second. First off, he's physical. He has a lot of talent. He could possibly, do anything he wants to do. He's tall. He's fast. He's big. He's physical. And then you can tell his dad was a player as well. You tell those guys that they're smart. They understand the game. Even for a rookie, he has a veteran mindset. He understands what they're trying to do on defense. He's someone you definitely have to know where he's at every single play. He's getting better and better each and every week. Man, hearing that come from a guy like Pat Mahomes, who's well-respected, how does that make you feel?
It's a great feeling. Hearing that from him, top quarterback in his league, future Hall of Famer, that's a great feeling knowing that he has that amount of respect for you in your craft and in your work. So You know, it's always good to get credit from those type of guys.
And the interception last night, take us through that play. What were you in? What were they trying to do offensively against you guys?
So, yeah, we was basically a man. We're cover nine, but it's like a man match. So I pressed it against Tyreek Hill. He ran a slant. He had me beat a little bit inside, but so I ran through to track his hip.
Yeah.
And they seen no tip pass.
Tips and overthrows.
Need them. So came down with the pick. I feel like it was a big time playing the game. We needed it. So,
So the unique thing about that, you know, you get a chance to see Pat Mahomes twice a year. So you'll be seeing him twice a year for the at least next decade or so. Because you know you're not going anywhere anytime soon, and he's not either. So I guess you say you got one up on him already. Your first time playing against him, you already picked them all. So that's dope.
Yeah, I got one up.
Yeah, you got one up on him. Yeah. How was it losing a Hall of Fame player like Von Miller?
Oh, it was tough, man. Losing a guy like that, a leader like that, that's been around the organization for many of years. You know, when you lose a key guy like that, you got to settle down and just find new leaders within the locker room, and, just build upon it. Von, tremendous player, tremendous individual all around. But, we just had to learn how to adapt and move on from what happened. We just focus on weeks ahead, game planning ahead without him. So I just think so far we've done a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, you guys have. I mean, everyone has really upped up their play defensively, and because of that, you guys have done some real good things. And you didn't win last night against the Chiefs, but clearly you made it a ball game. You know what I mean? And their defense just made a few more plays than your defense. But I love what I'm seeing collectively from the entire unit defensively. Last question for you before we transition to the superlative part of our show. Michael Parsons is balling out. I mean, right now he's a favorite to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. But currently, you have the second best odds, so you're right behind Michael Parsons. What can you do over the final few weeks of the season to make a strong case to win Rookie Defensive Player of the Year?
Make more plays. When the ball's thrown my way, I got to capitalize on it, make plays on the ball more. Michael, he's having a tremendous year, breaking records left and right. He's doing a great job, but I feel like I just got to make more plays. That's when it's all said and done because, I feel like people, it's hard for a corner because, when you on one side of the field, sometimes it'd be like games where quarterbacks don't throw you away and you don't get the flashy plays and all that. But you just got to capitalize on the plays that's, thrown to you. You just got to make plays on it. So I just feel like more of those, will help a lot.
No question. And I think the more plays you make, the closer you guys can get to a playoff. You know what I mean? What do you need to do collectively as a team to be able to make a nice playoff run, push to get into the playoffs before it's all said and done?
We got five more games left, but, these last couple of games are key games because it's all division opponents. Minus these two coming up, but the rest of the way is division opponents. So these key marquee matchups, we need to focus on that, just focus on winning out these big games. So I think – we got a special team. We got the chance to do it. So, it's all about the work that we put in and day out.
Okay. No question. Now, Pat, we're going to get you up out of here in just a second. But before we do, I'm going to hit you with the likes. It's like a little 2-minute situation, right? They need a touchdown to win. They're going to go up tempo. I mean, they're going to put you in a lot of, we just call it match nine, cover nine, cover four. And you're a rookie. So we're going to come at you a little bit. So let's see how you handle pressure. So I want your honest, unbiased answer for these questions right here. First question for you. Which one of your former Alabama quarterbacks, Tua, Jalen, or Mac, would you enjoy intercepting the most and why?
I'll probably say Mac.
Why is that?
The thing with Mac is he's so competitive on the field. And when he get his one up, he gonna talk trash. So
Mac Jones is a trash talker?
Yeah, people don't know that though. He's just ultra competitive. But probably Mac because he's so he's so into the game. He just take command of the offense, and I just feel like picking off him would be some dope.
Okay, Well, let's keep it with the quarterback. Start, sit, cut.
Oh.
Start, sit, cut. Tua, Mac, Jalen Hurts. Who you starting, who you sitting, who you cutting?
It's crazy thing is they all came from one of those positions. So they all had to go through their come up. I don't even know, man. It's like you gonna put that pressure on me, man.
It's 2 minutes. You know it's 2 minutes. You know it's late in the fourth quarter. And this is a hot game, too. This is one of them September games. You know, you ain't really in football shape all the way yet. Yeah. They coming at the young fella. They done hit you with a double move. They ain't throw the ball your way. Now they bring it back in the number one wide receiver. The backup just ran you off on a double move. You know how that feels. Now you coming back to the line of scrimmage. You can't huddle. Now you got the fresh guy in.
Yeah.
Start, sit, cut. Which route you going?
So right now, I'll probably start Mac because he's having a good season right now.
Yes, he is.
Probably better than both of those. You know, he's leading their team to some winning. So
number one in the AFC right now.
Yeah. So Mac doing a good job. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't cut one of them.
Yeah,
you feel me?
Okay. Well, you gave me a starter. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Next question for you. This is another tough one. Current Alabama defensive backs in the National Football League right now. Assemble that secondary, only of Alabama players. So I'll give you. Five. We in sub package, right? So we're in our nickel. So you got three corners and two safeties. If you want to have three safeties and two corners, who would make the all Alabama NFL secondary right now of current players?
I put me in there.
That's fair. Yep. Gotcha. That's one.
Diggs.
That's two.
Marlon Humphrey.
That's three.
But you know who else? Anthony Everett. He's been balling too.
Yep.
He's a baller.
The Ravens. So you putting Averett in there, or are you just mentioning his name?
I'm mentioning it. Okay. Just for now. You got to give Marlon his props. Marlon went Pro Bowls, so you got to give him his props.
Who that? Marlon, you, Marlon. And Diggs. Yep.
Yeah. And I'll probably put Xavier McKinney, safety.
Okay. Now you got one more.
Another safety.
I know a name you're missing.
Landon Collins.
You could throw Landon in there, but it's another name you're missing too. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Y'all got some.
Eddie Jack. Ajax. Eddie Jack.
You can throw, but there's still another. Man.
There's another?
There's another name.
I know I am.
I forgot. Y'all got some DBs, boy. Ooh.
Mika.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Let me ask you this question. Are y'all, is Bama a new DBU right now?
I'm saying, the way it's looking. It seems like when you see a DB make plays, you know, it's Bama left and right.
Well, you just threw out names. I forgot about Eddie Jackson, who from Fort Lauderdale. Eddie Jackson went to BA, if I'm not mistaken. He went to Boyd Anderson. I'm not remembering.
BA.
BA. Then you just threw out Landon Collins, who went to Bama as, man. Listeners, viewers, help us with this one. Is Alabama the new DBU? I know Pat P is always talking about LSU. You know, I'm gonna talk Florida State, but boy, y'all got some boys right now.
Yeah.
Y'all got some boys. Next question for you. Favorite spot to go out to eat? And when you're in South Florida, your home, where you like to go out to eat at?
Go out to eat?
Yeah.
Prime 112.
I got you. Yeah. That's always a go-to.
A little pricey, but you know, the food always gonna treat you well.
You're first runner now. You can afford it now. You okay.
Yeah.
You okay?
I'm gonna have to hit that in the offseason.
No question. No question. Especially you coming off a Pro Bowl year as a rookie. I just threw that out there to you, didn't I? Go ahead and catch it. Pro Bowl as a rookie. Come on now. No question. All right. Next question for you. You just picked off Money Pat Mahomes last night. You picked off Herbert. You picked off Trevor Lawrence. What quarterback do you want to pick off next?
And this schedule coming up, I want to pick off like all the division team quarterbacks. So Derek Carr. I ain't pick off Derek Carr yet.
Oh yeah, because you got the other two guys already.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
Derek Carr.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's what I like. That last question for you, prediction time. I know you're still a fan of Alabama football, watching them religiously. They got Cincinnati coming up in the Cotton Bowl. Prediction for that ball game, Alabama versus Cincinnati in the Cotton Bowl.
Cincinnati, they got a good team this year. I give them props, but they ain't got enough firepower. They ain't got enough. I like Bama winning by at least 2 or 3 scores.
Dang. Yeah, I can see that happening. Hey, question for you. I know you haven't really played against Jameson Williams, but how fast is he? Man.
I actually played against him last year in the national championship. Yeah, because he was at Ohio State.
Yeah. But he really didn't play that much, right?
He played a good amount of snaps in that game. You know, they got him, Olave, and Garrett Wilson. Those are the three. But yeah, he's fast.
Boy, it looked like he was
talking about
fast.
Sliding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, what are you
talking about? When he hit that extra gear, it's over with.
It looked like he floating. Boy, it looked like he floating. Boy, man. Yeah. So, dang, is Bama wide receiver you too? Is that?
You know, I can name a couple people now. Well, y'all already know. Y'all already know the receivers that came out and the receivers that's currently, you know, doing their thing. So, you know, I'm going to settle that to the fans and the viewers and the listeners. So, you know, but if you want to look at dominance over the past few years, I think we got to resume. So,
man, I mean, I can try to argue that, but it wouldn't be wise to argue that because when it comes to as of the last few years, wide receivers, every year, and Jameson going to be a first round. And then when Mechie is up, he going to be a first round as well. So you guys doing a great job recruiting wide receivers, man. But Pat Surtain Jr., man, thank you for joining me. Here, all things covered. One of the best up and coming corners in the National Football League. Let's get him in the Pro Bowl. That's Bronco fans. Y'all know what y'all got to do.
Let's get this man in the Pro Bowl, man.
Let's stop playing around. He just picked off Money Pat Mahomes. He's going to get Derek Carr before it's all said and done. And Herbert and Pat Mahomes, if you ain't careful, he might get you twice. So, you know what I mean? Let's get this young man in the Pro Bowl, man, so he can go down to Prime 112 and really celebrate the right way.
Thanks, man.
Hey, man, best of luck to you the rest of the way. Stay healthy. And, man, keep getting them tips and overthrows.
Yep. Appreciate you, big dog. Thank you for having me.
All right.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.